You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Andrew Martin. Andrew is a highly attuned, intuitive oracle and spiritual teacher. A series of transcendent and clairaudient experiences, beginning in 1995 and climaxing in 2012, left him suddenly awakened and on an accelerated path of expansion and evolution. His ability to take high-level, often abstract spiritual knowledge and make it practical and accessible is bringing revolutionary insight to the spiritual community. His entertaining, compassionate, and down-to-earth approach assists people in unlocking powerful, lasting change. His work is the catalyst for life-altering shifts and transformation. You can access his website at www.thelightedones.com, and he's also on Facebook. So let's welcome Andrew to the show now. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Well, you know, our mutual friend David Manning had referred you, and of course, anything that David likes, I'm instantly am in favor of myself. So I want to give him credit for that.
Yeah, well, that's high praise because I think David is amazing and his work
is
incredible.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, it's lovely to connect with you this way.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, you know, I like that when people that know other people kind of share information and then things just unravel like a magic carpet.
Yeah.
So you had an awakening, apparently, or a series of awakenings that began in 1995 and climaxed in 2012. That seems to be a propitious year for that.
Yeah.
Can you share some of what happened to you during that time?
Yeah, well, you know, I think I grew up in a small town in the middle of Wyoming. You know, in the mountains, kind of surrounded by, you know, lots of wilderness. And it wasn't really the kind of place where one would consider themselves to, you know, have access to spiritual information or, you know, that sort of insight. We didn't have the internet, let's just put it that way.
Right.
You know, back then in the early and mid-80s, you just kind of knew whatever was around or sort of in the collective consciousness. So I was always somehow drawn to, you know, stuff that we would call metaphysical, you know, tarot cards and psychics and Ouija boards and crystals and all of that stuff. But I just thought that it was, you know, something that I was interested in. Mm-hmm. But I would say 1995 or 96, I was living in Seattle at the time and just decided to meditate one day. And so I sat down and did what I thought you were supposed to do. I crossed my legs in the lotus position and closed my eyes and started to breathe. And after just a couple of minutes of, you know, doing what I thought I was supposed to do, I had this spontaneous, what I just call like emerging with oneness. For a split second, everything outside of me was gone. I felt no sense of identity. I felt no sense of separation. I just felt at one with everything. I mean, the trees and the rocks and the stars and the planets and the, you know, the apartment I was in, it was all just this sense of oneness. And I it probably was less than a second that I experienced it, but it felt infinite and it felt endless. I mean, it just was this feeling of being completely connected to all of it, which of course my conscious mind didn't allow to happen for too long. And so I think after probably less than a second, I snapped out of it. And then over the years, I think just kind of explained it away. And then in 2005, I was living in New York. I had been in New York for about 7 years. I was at the end of my career as a makeup artist. I wasn't happy. I was just, you know, kind of suffocating under the weight of this life. I had lost my apartment and was living with friends in their living room, sleeping on my mattress, you know, on their living room floor. And I was just kind of coming to, you know, everything was coming to a head, and I just felt myself completely lost and helpless, and I had no idea what I was going to do. And I had lived in Seattle before. I had moved to New York. And so I just said in this moment of kind of desperation and just surrender, I said, I need help. I don't know what to do. And I heard this voice very clearly say to me, you do realize that it doesn't have to be this difficult. You can go back to Seattle if you want to.
Hmm.
And it was just this moment of complete and total shock because very clearly it was a voice. It was not just a thought in my head. It was not just a random passing thought. It was a voice that was, you know, giving me an option.
Mm-hmm.
And so 3 weeks later, I was back in Seattle. You know, I went through the motions of calling friends and kind of figuring it out and selling my stuff and all of that. But I was, you know, 3 weeks later back in Seattle, had started down the spiritual path at that point and was starting to, for the first time in my life, investigate the possibility that I could have a life that was spiritual, and that perhaps it could even be, you know, a fun life and an exciting life, a life that I could also do, be of service in some way. But I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready to make that commitment, or I had reached sort of, I guess, the peak of what I was ready for at that time. And so in 2008, I moved to San Francisco, moved to go back to doing makeup, had, you know, 4 years went by in San Francisco, and it was just a lost time in my life. I think what I was really doing was running from my life. Mm-hmm. And so in 2012, I had ended up in Los Angeles and was in the exact same place that I had been in New York. I was lost. I was frustrated. I was once again sort of struggling to uphold this life that I didn't even really want. You know, that saying, I was, you know, buying things that I didn't want with money I didn't have to impress people I didn't like.
Right.
You know, what else are you going to do when you're fraught with existential crisis? You decide to paint your bathroom. So I decided to paint my bathroom and was just finishing up painting one of the walls, the final wall in the bathroom. And a voice came through as clear as day. It was the exact same voice as I had heard in New York. And it said, you do realize that when you finish painting this bathroom, it's going to be time to leave, don't you?
Oh.
And so I said, okay, I don't know who you are or what you want or what you know that I don't know, but I can't do this anymore. I can't pretend that there's not something bigger that's calling me forward. And so I said, okay, whoever you are, whatever you want, I said, you know, get me back to Seattle, get me a job and an apartment, and I promise I will do whatever you want, and I won't budge until I'm done. And 3 weeks later, I had a job and an apartment and was back in Seattle.
Wow.
Yeah, and then that was really, in 2012 is when I finally said, okay, whatever it is that I'm supposed to be doing, I don't know what it is. I have an idea. I had some, you know, things that were important to me in terms of sort of the fundamentals of my experience, but other than that, I just really did surrender and kind of put myself in the hands of something greater, and 4 years later, here I am.
Wow, that is truly amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty astonishing, for sure. It really did change everything.
Well, now, did the voice continue on after you went to Seattle and guide you through other situations?
No, it never, I mean, you know, when I'm working, I am very clairaudient. So I do receive a lot of the information that I get when working with clients through what we would say, you know, hearing it or through the perception of I heard something. Mm-hmm. But no, that was the only two times that I ever had the distinct, you know, hearing the voice sort of outside of my body in the air or in the sky or wherever it was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I now know that was Archangel Michael. And
oh.
I have a connection with him and quite an affinity with him. And he's been present in many ways throughout my life and my spiritual life especially. But only those two times did I actually hear his voice.
Mm. Yes, he's pretty special to me, too.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's funny because we'd almost missed each other in San Francisco. I left in 2002. To say that was a lost period would be an understatement, but anyway.
Yeah.
So then, when you were in Seattle, how did things gel for you to be doing what you're doing today? I mean, did you just, how did you phase into it, so to speak?
Well, you know, I got back to Seattle and I was working for another company. You know, I wasn't self-employed yet, but I was working for somebody else full-time in, you know, a day job in an office. And, you know, I've always been creative. And so I always had a creative outlet, you know, growing up in a creative family. We always had something going on. And as a makeup artist for, you know, about 15 years, I always kind of took for granted that my creativity was built into my job. And so when I moved back to Seattle in 2012, I didn't have a creative outlet, so I started painting again, just for fun. So I got an easel and some canvas and some acrylics and just started painting just for the fun of it, just to have a way to express myself creatively. And it was through that creative expression that I was able to open up the connection and start connecting consciously with my guides and start channeling. And basically I went through kind of what I call, I think it was somewhere between August and November of 2012, the exact time is a little blurry, but somewhere late 2012, I went through basically what I call like a spiritual boot camp. When I consciously connected with my guides, we started doing things like I would meditate and they would work on my ears or they would work on my eyes or they would work on my whole energy system. I would physically feel things happening. A lot was happening in dream time. A lot was happening when I was asleep. So much so that I had to, you know, eventually I said, okay, you guys, I need to put boundaries around this. Like, I have to have some downtime. Like, I have to be off the clock at some point because I was still working a full-time job at the time. But it was basically I would go, you know, I was kind of like Superman. I would go from 9 to 5 and work in the office, and then on my off time I was doing these crazy, miraculous, amazing things, you know, in meditation and with my guides to help basically, I guess, get me ready for the work that I was eventually going to step into.
And then how did that show up for you initially?
Initially stepping into the work, it was funny. It was one of those things that it just kind of progressed, and the next thing I knew, it was, I think, February of 2014 was when I officially left my full-time job to pursue doing this full-time. I'd been doing it sort of on the side part-time. You know, I put up a website and, you know, just started introducing myself to people on Facebook and trying to find people that would, you know, be willing to let me work with them and to help them in whatever way that I could, because I was still so unsure. And my guides basically said, you just got to start. You just find a way to start.
Right.
So I just started connecting with people on Facebook and offering up, you know, either free readings or donation readings, just something to start. But then in February, there was some circumstances that occurred at my job, and it was just the right time for me to bow out in early 2014. And, you know, it was definitely a bumpy ride. It wasn't like I woke up the next day and had, a full calendar of clients. I worked part-time jobs off and on. And really, it's been this year, finally, that things have taken off to the point where, you know, this is what I do full-time and it sustains me. But in the beginning, it really was just faith and trust. I just had to keep showing up in whatever way I could to say, okay, Spirit, show me how to serve today. You know, basically show me how to do the work that I already agreed to come here and do. Because, again, I had just surrendered and said, look, you know something that I don't know, or you know something that I don't remember, and I'm just going to have to go on faith here and trust that you're going to put me in the right place at the right time.
Oh, right, right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And obviously they did.
Yeah, and they continue to do so, you know, much to my surprise and sometimes frustration. But, yeah, here I am, you know, now things are moving along really, really swiftly. The energies that are coming in are incredibly powerful. You know, I go through my own experience with these energies just as much as everyone does. And so that's always been kind of my whole platform, is to just be as honest and transparent as I can be about what it is that I'm going through, and hope that what I share also connects with somebody else.
So when do you connect then with a group that you work with regularly, or how do you connect, and who with whom?
Yeah, so in the beginning, when I first started working with my guides, it was Archangel Michael who made the connection.
Oh, okay.
You know, and that first meditation where I started receiving information was like, okay, what the heck's going on here? It was Archangel Michael that helped sort of make that introduction. But the group that I communicate with closely and that I'm a part of actually is they call themselves the Lighted Ones. And in fact, that was actually kind of a name that we agreed on because, you know, they thought that it was quite silly to have any name. They didn't really understand,
right.
You know, as a collective consciousness, why, you know, anything other than we and you or us, you know, was necessary. But yeah, the Lighted Ones, they are a collective, you know, my understanding of it is that they're kind of like the United Nations without all the shadowy influences. So it is a group of sixth through ninth dimensional density awareness and beings that basically come together, and there's a group that speaks for them, this group of 12 individuals, and they call themselves the Lighted Ones, and I communicate directly with them. And over the past couple of months, it has become very clear to me that I am of sorts the one that, I guess in a sense, drew the short straw and decided to come here in physicality in this lifetime. So they really are, you know, they're kin for me. The feeling there is very familiar and very comfortable, and they do feel like family in many
ways. Right. Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
What kind of information is coming through them? For instance, you said they were following the shadowy realms that are running the show here, it would appear.
Yeah.
What are they saying?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I, you know, much of this has been on-the-job training for me in terms of I go through my own, my own transformation and my own expansion kind of along with everybody else. And what I noticed about a year and a half ago was that the information that was coming in, I would usually kind of get a preview through my own experience about a week to two before, and then the clients that would come in would be dealing with whatever I had just sort of gone through.
Oh, interesting. Yes. That would
so what they're talking about now, and something that I am seeing happening with most of my clients is, and myself included, is that we are at this place right now where it is absolutely about the willingness to show up and be guided by our divine aspects, our higher aspects, our soul aspects, whatever you want to call it. And they have been talking a lot about the emergence of the divine human is when we finally step into our sovereignty and say, I am in co-creation with my divine partner. And my divine partnership, who really is the truth of who I am, sort of the higher self, the expanded self, or the non-physical self, if you want to call it that, this is the reason for the human experience. And so what I'm really, the message that's coming through time and time again is humanity is at this huge crossroads right now where we are really being given the opportunity to say, okay, the reason that the human experience exists is so that Source, Spirit, all that is, God, whatever you want to call it, the universe has a way to expand and grow. Source is seeking expansion through experience. And so when we surrender to the fact that, oh, I chose to be here in this human incarnation so that my non-physical aspects could have a way to be made manifest, and we really do begin to understand the partnership that we are in with our divine aspects, our spiritual aspects, and that's when things start to become really exciting because we do step into the real world experience of creating in divine partnership. So we're not in the classroom anymore, right? This isn't abstract academic learning anymore. This is what is it like to be in the field actually actively creating your experience as a divine human?
Well, you know, Werner Erhard, who was the founder of EST, used to say that life is fired at you point blank. It's not a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always thought that that was particularly pressing, you know, that we kind of look at our history and we're guided by the past, but really it's a moment-by-moment creation, isn't it?
Yeah, and I love that, you know, the reference to the past is what so many of us are being tasked with unlearning right now.
Right.
You know,
right.
It is like, who am I free from the story? Who am I...
Yeah.
Without this preconceived idea, and what we're realizing and what the mind is having a difficult time with is realizing that the mind is not in charge anymore, right? That's what the patriarch is. It is this willful, you know, it's this idea that don't be sensitive, don't be emotional, don't be vulnerable because that's seen as weakness. It's only the will of the mind and it is only the will of force and separation that will ever get anything done. And we're seeing where that has gotten us.
No, absolutely.
And now we're beginning to see that, oh, we are moving into a new realm where the light is in charge. And the light, spirit, really isn't interested in, you know, sort of amusing us by these old childish notions and these minimized, diminished ideas of who we are as a human and what we're capable of. You know, spirit has begun to assert itself into our experience very clearly in a very point-blank way, saying, actually, I know the truth of who you are. And anything less than this is what is going to be asked to unravel and you're going to be asked to let go of. And so we really are all being called to a new level of accountability within ourselves and within our own experience because we're going through something that has never been done before.
And what might that be?
That is the ascension of humanity.
Oh, okay, right.
Right? It's the waking up and all that we talk about, the ascension and the event and all these things that we've been focusing on, especially since 2012, but for some of us for much longer.
Right,
this idea of humanity finally waking up and stepping into its sovereignty as a planet, which in turn establishes us in, you know, the galactic hierarchy or the universal hierarchy, or, you know, being a member of something that is much larger than us, just as warring factions on the planet Earth. And that requires a great deal of accountability and a great deal of getting really honest with ourselves and asking those questions. Okay, who am I really, and why have I been convinced that somebody else outside of me needs to hold the keys to the castle?
Absolutely. Well, that's a good question, the why, and it would appear that there are multiple layers and levels to that question, and that they are intentionally designed to keep us limited and unaware and cut off from source and our own higher self.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I think is what I think we're really starting to understand, and what I see happening in my own experience and even with clients, is that the point of the distraction is to be a distraction. Mm-hmm. Right? The point of fear is to perpetuate more fear. There is no secret answer, right? I mean, we can look at why fear has been used to manipulate, and we can look at how fear has been used to manipulate. But in the end, the only answer is that fear is just a lie. It always is.
Yep.
And so when we look at fear and say, okay, I'm not here to make peace with you. I'm not here to reason with you. You are a great teacher. Fear is an amazing teacher. And fear says, yeah, I'm the slipperiest son of a bitch you're ever going to meet. And the answer is, I'm always lying to you. And so anyone who's selling you fear as a solution, anyone that's selling you fear as an answer, does not have your best interest at heart. And so fear is not here to be our friend. It is here to teach us so that we can rise up and say, you know what, fear, thank you. Thank you for centuries of your offerings. Mm-hmm. But now I'm choosing something different. And that is to see that even this idea that fear tries to seduce us, right? It says, oh, if you just sit with me one more time, I promise I'll give you the answer.
Right.
And there is no answer. Fear is a closed loop. It is an ecosystem unto itself. So what we're starting to see now is, oh, it doesn't matter who's running the show. It doesn't matter who's in charge, because as long as I am continuing to hand my power over to somebody else, things are never going to change.
Yep. That's exactly it. That's well said.
So, you know, that's where we are right now in terms of what I'm seeing, you know, the ascension of humanity. In my opinion, and the event, you know, all these things that we're sort of waiting for, I see that we are in process of that right now.
Right. With individuals such as yourself and many others who have heard the voice and have probably ignored it for a long time.
Yes, I do.
And then at some point there's some kind of trigger in which you can no longer ignore it.
Yeah.
Kind of like synchronicity. When you have enough synchronicities during the day, you know, you've seen maybe 5 or 10 during a day, but when they happen nonstop for 40 minutes, for instance, and it's just one after another, you can't deny at that point that there is something going on that is talking to you personally, that is in the world, that is synchronized.
Yeah.
And I suspect that everything is literally synchronized. It's just our perceptions that are out of whack.
Yeah. Totally. Well, and that's, you know, to me, the universe is always in communication with us.
Yeah.
And I think what we're really starting to realize is we are not separate from any of it.
Right.
Right? There's this idea that we have been sold that somewhere out there is someone or something waiting to, or some sort of intelligence, waiting to grant me what it is that I'm wishing for based upon how good I am, or, you know, how willing I am, or how humble I am, or whatever. And we're starting to realize that there is nothing, we're not separate from the process of creating what we want. We are the process of creating what we want. And this idea that, you know, somehow we need to be granted something is just more of that old disempowered story that says, I need someone else to do it for me because I'm not powerful enough or strong enough or whatever, and that's the illusion.
Right.
The thing that we are seeking is already within us. That power and that sovereignty is something that we're born with, and then we spend, you know, the rest of our life giving it away until such time as we have that wake-up call and we go, oh, wait a minute, I just can't ignore this anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can't pretend there's not something else. I can't pretend that, you know, is this all there is? I know there's got to be more than this. And when we begin to disidentify and disorient ourselves from the external world and start to do that internal connection and that inner work, which nobody really, you know, is excited to do in the beginning. You know, we don't wake up, yay, I can't wait to face all my inner demons today.
Right.
But, you know, that is necessary. That's part of it. And that's what we're seeing right now being purged on the collective stage, is the collective demons are all being dragged out of the closet because we are ready to take responsibility for it.
Wow, well, that is going to be quite a mess, isn't it?
It sure is.
Well,
you know,
know,
I mean, it's like childbirth. I can't remember. I think it was, I was in a Paul Selig workshop several months ago, and I think it was his guide that we're talking about, you know, what we're in the midst of right now is childbirth is messy. It's painful. It's scary. It's sometimes life-threatening. It's, you know, ugly. But it also creates something very, very beautiful and magical.
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, or fortunately for us, we've been in centuries and thousands of years and maybe millions and who knows how long a period of time in that process.
Yeah.
You know, 9 months, according to a, you know, on a galactic scale, could work out to, you know, hundreds of thousands of years or millions of years. And so the scale and relativity of this changes with your perception of where you're looking from.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I've noticed recently in some of the guests and people that I've had on the show is that several people are talking about a couple of different things, and it's sometimes referred to as the event, sometimes it's referred to as Armageddon, and there is something coming up on the world stage, which may be a catalyst for a lot of people to accelerate this process. And it's one of my good friends, Timothy Glenn, was on the show recently, and he's been talking about Planet X and Nibiru. And I kind of went through my, you know, learning curve on that 10, 15 years ago, and then I just kind of forgot about it.
Yeah.
And so there's something going on with that. I don't know what. It could just be a planted meme that is floating around, and who knows?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to tell what kind of information is accurate these days. But the other thing is that another person has mentioned that there's something much larger than that, and it's going to be an unveiling. Now, so we, you know, we have the shift, we have the awakening. We've got the New Age movement kind of being trashed because it's supposedly co-opted, which, you know, some of it may have been.
Yeah.
And then that makes it difficult for people to listen and hear anything when people like yourself are making these connections. And, you know, people tend to poo-poo all of this because, oh, yeah, the New Age movement, that was all created by the, you know, so-and-sos, and they
right.
did that, blah, blah, blah. And so there is something coming, and I don't know what it is, and maybe it's foolish to even talk about it, but, you know, because you can't prepare for something that makes your eyes pop out,
yeah.
whether it's a Kundalini experience or a planet driving by and causing the world's oceans to create tidal waves and completely reform every continent on the Earth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just no way your mind can grasp that. But if we are going to be doing any kind of awakening, it seems like we better do it soon. That's my gut feeling.
Yeah. Well, and the way, and I agree with you that it can be really difficult to kind of pin down, you know, where's this information coming from,
hmm.
who's, you know, got their pulse on what's really happening, who's not, you know, it's so confusing. And oftentimes, you know, I'm actually kind of in that state right now where I'm very clearly given the message to stop all information gathering
hmm.
from external sources and to really just rely on what's going on internally and to just connect there.
Hmm.
But I think, you know, my perception and the way that I look at it is whatever energetically, whatever is coming towards the end of the year, and we all think, you know, somewhere around the 21st of December seems to be the magical date. You know, I think if we look back to December 21st, 2012, that was also a big date, right? We were expecting so many things.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I myself back in that time was so new to this conscious experience of a spiritual path that I had no idea what to expect. And I remember being very disappointed on the 21st that nothing looked different, nothing seemed to have changed, and I was still having to go back to this crappy job that I didn't want.
Right.
So, you know, and it wasn't actually a crappy job. I really liked the job. But, you know, it wasn't my dream.
Yeah.
But what I think that if I look back now, I can say that everything absolutely has unequivocally changed. And I think if any of us looks back on our life 4 years ago, I don't know anybody that can say, oh, yeah, life is pretty much the same as it was 4 years ago. So my understanding of these big events and these big energetic experiences and these catalysts that come in, and whether it's an actual planet that's coming in or whether that's a metaphor for the energies, or, you know, because spirit loves to talk in metaphors, because I think metaphors are the way that we can bypass the firewall of the conscious mind, right? If I'm just telling you a story around the campfire, then the mind doesn't have to prove it or disprove it. It can just go, oh, that's a nice story. So I think we love metaphor because that's how it's easy. And it's also, if you're not looking for the truth, it can be hidden in a metaphor. And if, you know, we're talking about the time and period where I could have been burned at the stake for talking about these things, then I can speak in metaphors and it's safe.
Right.
But what I look at these experiences and I say, if you take 100 people and put them on a street corner, on the same street corner, and tell them all to write down what they observe for 2 minutes, and then you asked 100 people to give, you know, those people to give you their experience, you would get 100 different experiences, and all of them would be correct and true.
Right.
But based upon what I am experiencing in my own world or what I am connected to, or perhaps I'm psychic and I can see energy, so what I experience is going to be much different than someone who only believes in science or only believes in the things that he can physically touch and feel, or someone who doesn't have vision and can only hear, right? So all of these things will be real and all those experiences will be genuine and factual, but based upon what you're ready for, what you're prepared for, and what you believe is possible, your experience is going to be completely unique.
Right,
so
right.
So that's how I tend to look at these event situations is, yes, I do believe that we're in the midst of a huge buildup energetically, and I do believe that there will be kind of a tipping point that will occur towards the end of the year, but I don't know if necessarily everyone's going to be able to automatically absorb the enormity of that, so it'll kind of be held in escrow for them, or it'll be up in the cloud, and they'll download it as they are able to take in that information.
Yes.
And then I think for some of us who are sort of prepared or energetically ready in a different way, our experience is going to be much bigger and much grander. But I think all of them will be valid, and I think on some level, everyone's going to experience it in their own way.
Right, right. That does make a lot of sense. It really does.
Because, you know, we think of free will, and our helpers, you know, I just call them our non-physical helpers, they want this to be an experience that we thrive within, right? This is the whole experience of going through physical ascension while in the physical body and on the planet and everyone being alive to go through it has never been done before. And the metaphor that my guides always used a couple years ago was, it's like you're riding a bicycle and you decide to rebuild the bicycle into a sports car while you're riding the bicycle.
Wow.
Like, this is no small feat.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever it is that we experience must always be within the confines of our free will and what our soul has agreed to. And if the soul says no, that would blow Andrew's mind. You know, if my higher self is saying, nope, that's not going to happen, then my experience of it will be filtered until such time as I'm able to access that information.
Right, 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 right. So in a sense, I mean, because we know that there is no such thing as time, that it's an illusion.
Yeah.
It would appear from another vantage point that everybody is ascending together in a sense.
Right.
But from our personal individual viewpoint, it might look entirely different when you're on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and how, you know, I can tune in to, you know, if I had cable, I don't have cable, but if I had cable, I could tune into, you know, what, 100 stations with a live feed, all of which are actually happening right now, but my perception and my vantage point or where I am oriented or what I'm tuned into will dictate whether or not I have that same experience, right? I may just observe it and go, oh, wow, look at this thing that's happening over there, or it may be something that I'm actually in the middle of, and both are really real experiences, but like you said, since there's no time, these things can be occurring on multiple levels with different levels of awareness, and just depending on whatever it is that I'm connected to, And what I'm watching, basically what TV station I'm watching, my experience is going to be very different.
Right, right. And it seems like through the sharing of it that people are attracted to or magnetized towards those things that are going to take them in the right direction eventually.
Yes.
So I notice on Facebook, you know, here I am looking at your Facebook page, and it just feels right that this kind of information appeals to me because it's always appealed to me. So
right.
Somebody else may be looking at the latest boxing results.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we're not here to assess other people's situation or where they're at because we can't know that.
Right. Yeah, we can never know what one soul has chosen for the growth and evolution of themselves, right?
Right.
If we say, okay, human Andrew is here so that non-physical Andrew can have the experience of what it's like to be physically Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when I realize and remind myself that, oh, okay, it's not just about my will, my sheer will as a human and what I want, it's my way or the highway, I'm in co-creation with my non-physical self because that's really who I am. Because
mm-hmm.
when this body falls apart, the eternal part of me, which has always been and always will be, is still present and says, well, that was fun. I liked being Andrew. What are we going to do next?
Right.
So, you know, no one has any way of knowing what I chose from a soul perspective
right.
to do in this lifetime. And, quite frankly, up until about, you know, 3.5, 4 years ago, I didn't even know.
Yeah, right, right.
So I was just as clueless as the next person. But I think what's really interesting is we're starting to see signs of it in the collective. And if you look at movies, like I just went to see Arrival yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I
want
to see
movie.
That. How was it?
I loved it. I have to see it again.
Okay.
I mean, I love Amy Adams. I'm a huge fan of hers. But that, you know, just my sort of adoration of her aside, just the way they presented the information and the concepts of time and reality and relativity to our experiences, mind-blowing.
Oh.
But when we see movies like that and then movies like Doctor Strange and the X-Men Apocalypse, we see these movies where these ideas that we're talking about are being offered up in the form of a fictional show or a story or a movie or whatever it is, because the collective consciousness is ready to begin to receive this kind of information.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so as a collective, we're raising our hand and we're saying, okay, we're ready for this transformation.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, right. I like that. And then the mirror funnels back to us and reflects back what it is that we are, you know, where we're at.
Yeah.
But we have to smile first for the mirror to smile back.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that. It's true.
I can't take credit for it. That came from Bashar.
I like
Daryl Anka.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
now,
it's, you know, and people say this to me all the time, you know, what, you know, if there's a God or a benevolent being or whatever it is you want to call it, they, you know, they will say to me, how will this being let, you know, if it really is all about love and light, how can murder and war and all of these things happen? And the way that I look at it is we must first be willing to choose that which we're praying for.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even go for a day without wanting to kill our neighbor. Why on earth would we think that we're ready to be granted something like world peace from an outside party?
Right.
we wouldn't know what to do with it.
Right, right.
So we really are seeing now, and I love your analogy of the collective mirror, we're not smiling.
No.
And that's exactly what we're seeing reflected back on the world stage.
Yep.
You know, a lot of us are smiling, and a lot of us are now waking up and empowering ourselves and saying, you know what, no, it's not okay. Why am I paying you to live on a planet that nobody owns?
Right, right.
So we're starting to wake up to these really high-level big ideas, which are actually timeless and eternal. And we're starting to see, oh, if I don't like what I see in the mirror, then I need to be the one that changes that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so right now, you know, we're kind of snarling and afraid and angry and I understand why. I understand why, but, you know, nobody likes being woken up, and we basically just got a big bucket of cold water dumped on us in the middle of the night. So,
right.
Of course, the response at first is not going to be a peaceful, benevolent one.
Right, and there are probably a few more buckets filled with ice coming.
I think so.
Yeah, and, well, you know, one thing I found is that when I don't pay attention to some kind of message is that, you know, the message doesn't go away. It just gets more pronounced.
Yeah.
So, you know, a physical car wreck, for instance, might be some kind of message that's connected to other messages that are all geared towards waking me up to something. And when it gets to the point where you're totaling your cars, more than one, then you really have to look at that and say, okay, what is this? What is looking me back in the face, in the mirror?
Right.
And so, you know, it's pretty simple when you just look at it that way, that your life is the mirror, and all you have to do is look at it.
Right.
And if there's a lot of stuff that you don't like, well, then who's who's responsible for that? Certainly isn't the people who run the world. You know, we like to shift blame to others because that is much more convenient than accepting responsibility for ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's one of, and I think I know that that was at the root of a lot of my reluctance to, you know, heed the wake-up call that was coming to me for a decade at least. And that was the realization, and I realize it now. Of course, at the time I didn't, but I think in hindsight what I see now is that, you know, at the fundamental idea that, you know, I take responsibility for my life lies the truth that once I do take responsibility for my life, then I can't point the finger at anybody else anymore.
Exactly. Right.
You know, and, you know, think about it. We've been raised in a society which for centuries has said, your teacher knows better, your mom knows better, your priest knows better, your politician knows better, your whoever knows better, your husband, your wife, your kid. You know, there's always someone outside of us who holds what we require. Mm-hmm. Or there's always someone outside of us or some institution outside of us that has the validation or the seal of approval or the stamp of approval. And we've lived in this transactional experience that says, if I do this and sacrifice that, then I get this in return.
Mm-hmm.
And spirit is saying, why are you separate from any of it? You are that. Why do you keep believing that someone outside of you is going to give you what, you know, we confused spirit with Santa Claus, right?
Right.
There's no naughty or nice list. You don't have to do anything to be granted it. You are always in the process of creating your experience, always. And
right.
Whether it's conscious or unconscious is the big question.
Yes, and that is the question, I guess Shakespeare would say. Because we can be run from our unconscious aspects, and it's bringing the unconscious parts and the shadow aspects into the light of consciousness that helps to clear out the cobwebs of our inner worlds.
Right.
So.
And, you know, it's not pretty. This is something that's been coming through a lot lately, because what I find is, you know, and I do these monthly energy updates on my YouTube channel, and the one that I will be doing for December is already starting to come into focus and come into view. And I can give you, you know, an idea of what the topic that's coming through is, you know, this idea of the human self really finally surrendering to the fact that, you know, I'm not separate from any of the things that I'm seeking. And that is such a difficult thing for us to really finally accept, because to really believe and live as if I am always creating my reality from one minute to the next can be a terrifying thing, right? Because if I just think, well, what if I mess it up? What if I do it wrong? I don't know how to do it. It's kind of like I just got my learner's permit, and now all of a sudden I got to go, you know, in the Indy 500.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things that is starting to come through is the true reality of the fact that no one ever said that this life was going to, you know, this path of being a human was always about being easy, convenient, or comfortable. And really being tasked with mastering ourselves in that moment to say, you know, the spiritual path is no guarantee that things won't still happen that will be frustrating or might shock you or, you know, be completely unexpected. But when you maintain that internal connection above everything else, it doesn't matter what is going on outside of you. That becomes secondary to your choice of how you're going to view the experience or allow yourself to experience it.
Very nice, very nice. And, of course, that shifts your perspective to being a co-creator and working through intention, rather than being a victim and at the effect of everything.
Right, exactly. As if life is happening to you.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Right, that's very good, very good. Well, you know, do you feel that the messages that are coming through to some of your clients are reflecting the reflecting what we were just talking about?
In terms of?
In terms of learning how to take control of the wheel, so to speak. Like we're in the back seat of the car, we're letting the car drive us or the dog. And so is the message that's coming through empowering, in other words?
Yes, it is. And one of the big messages that's been coming through the past few days is really one of faith and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the mind says, well, if I'm not out there doing something, if I'm not making it or forcing it or fixing it or taking it or, you know, whatever, then I'm somehow ineffective or I'm unsuccessful or I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And the heart is saying, hey, it's not always about doing, it's about being.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The heart is saying, listen to where you are energetically. Pay attention to where you are emotionally, because this is what it's creating for you.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there may not be physical action to take right now, because we are right now, you know, we're in the last month of a 9-year, so it's a completion month of a completion year, which is also another cycle within a cycle. I mean, we're completing so many things on so many levels right now,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of what I'm seeing right now is that December is not all about decision. December is not necessarily about forward momentum and motion and moving in any direction. There certainly will be choices to be made. And of course, there's, you know, life goes on and we always have practical things to attend to. But in terms of like the life path and sort of the big questions and what did I come here to do, or, you know, where's my spiritual fantasy, December is not really the month where a lot of those things are going to become clear, because we're still waiting for a lot of the potential. Because 2017 is nothing but potential.
Wow.
And so we're still waiting for a lot of these potentialities to kind of bake and coalesce so that whatever it is that's calling us forward will be ready to receive us.
Mm.
So what that means is like the part, you know, we kind of showed up early and the party hasn't started yet, so we're sort of waiting out in the parking lot in our car, you know. And when we're idle and when we don't have a lot calling us forward, that's when we tend to go into fear, right? That's when the mind comes in and says, see, I told you this spiritual stuff was stupid,
mm-hmm.
right? See,
mm-hmm.
nothing's happening. And so it's very easy for us to go into fear when there's not necessarily forward momentum. But what Spirit is saying is it's not always about forward momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are in a co-creative relationship, when there's nothing actively for you to do in the moment, that means there's nothing for you to do because your partner is working on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I find a lot of people going into fear right now thinking, oh, my God, where'd it go? I had this dream. I had this plan, and now it's not here, and I'm just sitting here. And the message is, yeah, sit here. And be okay with it.
Right.
And if you're not okay with it, well, too bad.
Right.
That's kind of, you know.
Go ahead and suffer.
Spirit is saying, do you want me to get my way now or do you want me to get my way later? And that's the choice, right? That's the empowerment, is I get to decide in the meantime what is my experience. Is it going to be fearful? Am I going to stress myself out? Am I going to run around crazy chasing my tail for no reason? Or am I going to sit and am I going to be and trust that when it's time for me to do something, insight and information will come?
Mm, very nice. Well, you know, I've enjoyed talking to you so much that the time has flown by on Archangel Michael wings.
Oh, yeah.
And we only have about a minute left, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to just, you know, close with anything that you'd like to share. Or, you know, mention any, you know, your website and how people can find you and how they can sign up for your video blog.
Yeah, if I'm everything on the Lighted Ones. So thelightedones.com, that's THELIGHTEDONES. And then it's Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all under The Lighted Ones. I do a monthly webinar called The Soul Expansion, and I will be posting that on my Facebook page in the next week or two. People can also sign up for my newsletter on my website, because my newsletter goes out the first of every month, and that contains everything that's coming up in the upcoming month. People can also access my booking calendar on my website, and, you know, everything that they would ever need from Andrew Martin's spiritual perspective will be on there.
Wonderful. Well, I will be poking around there tonight.
Lovely. Well, it's been so wonderful chatting with you. I can't believe it's been an hour already.
I know. It just it feels like no time has passed.
Yeah.
You know,
we're living outside of time.
Absolutely. Right. Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for coming on the show. I just really had a fun time talking to you, and I love what you're saying. And we'll have to get together and do another one of these in the near future.
I would love that. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Good night, Andrew, and good night, everybody.